You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Yeah, welcome, folks, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman flying solo one more time, one more night until Joe returns tomorrow. And he's looking forward to his return. He's done very well, and he'll be back tomorrow. Again, he's chomping at the bit to come back. The further back in history you look, the further ahead into the future you can see. That really has turned out to be one of my favorite quotations, and that's attributed to, in part, to Winston Churchill, and of course I'm paraphrasing that, but most assuredly it is true. Tonight we're going to be taking a look at some things in history, recent history, that have ominous implications for today, for the days in which we live right now. Folks, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me tonight. Of course, tonight the episode title is DHS Insider. Information Revisited. Much of what he said is coming to pass as we speak, and I took a lot of heat back in 2012, 2013 for the information that he had given me. And of course, you know him perhaps by the name Rosebud, the pseudonym Rosebud, since retired from from DHS. But I've spoken to him very recently, and he has information about what's taking place right now. So it's going to be a good program. Hour one. We're going to be digging into historical and current events. Hour two, we're going to be tying it together with biblical code, with Bible code, biblical prophecy, as we get a visit from Jonathan Matthew Wright, thecodesearcher.com. And we're going to wrap it all together in hour three. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And again, I just want to thank everyone for listening. And I want to remind people, too, we have listeners from all over the world and viewers from all over the world. If you're looking at this or viewing this and you're in the UK, or regardless of which Western country, or Australia or New Zealand, it doesn't matter where you're viewing or listening to this broadcast from, this information applies to you as well. And in some cases, even more so. Domestic terrorism, as it is defined today, of course, we are the domestic terrorist, and everything is upside down and backwards. Remember that quote from Van Jones, one of Obama's czars back in the early days, top down, bottom up, inside out, that has special meaning today. So happy to announce as well that to bring into the fold a brand new sponsor of our program. Really a great company. Have you, if you're a business owner out there, folks, how many business owners do we have listening, watching? Many, I'm sure. ZipRecruiter.com. If you go to Hagman and Hagman.com, that's our show website. Check out the link to ZipRecruiter.com. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates for whatever position you're looking for? Posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial for the information that you need to find that special person, that person to fill that job that you need done. ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. More on that later. As I was preparing for today's show, I was looking at the different conversations, notes of conversations I had with the DHS insider, nicknamed Rosebud. And if folks, if you really knew the story behind that nickname, you would laugh. But the bottom line is, the most recent conversation I did have, it lasted more than an hour. It was in person, and it was done very, it was kind of cloak and dagger stuff in a way. Very interesting information. The bottom line, as Steve Quayle likes to say, is saddle for battle and buckle up, because it's going to be a rough few weeks, a rough few months, and really from here on out, it's just going to be plain old rough. Obama has thrust us into a culture war. But it's just not Obama. It is the people that he has brought with him. It is the people that who preceded Obama. And it's the people who are working behind the scenes. Before I get into the historical aspect of things, I want to draw your attention to CanadaFreePress.com. CanadaFreePress.com. Now, Judy McLeod has written an article. It appears on CanadaFreePress.com. It's there now. In fact, you can certainly visit CanadaFreePress.com and comment on this. And it's one of the articles, it's one of those things that I looked at and said, my goodness, I kind of wish I would have written this. Judy McLeod, editor of Canada Free Press, good friend of mine, and of course I'm a senior contributor at that website as well. The headline is this: Obama will only impose martial law if it looks like Trump will win. Now, I've had numerous conversations with Judy McLeod. She's been in the news business most of her adult life. And like me, you know, she's old. Judy, if you're listening, I'm kidding. No, she's experienced is what I meant to say. Here's what she wrote. I'm not going to read. I'm just going to paraphrase from her article here. First of all, no one should hold their breath waiting for Obama to impose martial law as a means of suspending upcoming presidential elections, at least not yet. There's always talk, folks, about, well, geez, are we going to have elections? Are we even going to have elections? Remember 2012. My own DHS insider had said, we might not have these elections. I want to remind people, as I was reminded during a walk and talk I had with my with my source. The plans don't change. The timeline, circumstances, they change. The timeline is altered based on circumstances. And this is what Judy McLeod is saying here. Judy McLeod writes, if Obama does impose martial law, it's going to be a sure sign that Donald Trump has a good chance of winning the presidency. Until then, Obama is holding martial law as his ace in the hole. That's what he's doing, basically. Now, I want you to think about this. People who talk about martial law as a matter of routine are labeled as conspirators, nutbags, kooks, you know. And that's because really, historically, we've got nothing in recent memory, recent history, to really hook up that idea, just simply the idea of martial law here in the United States is ridiculous on its face, seemingly. We're a free country. This is America. As an aside, if you want to know, and I don't know how many people watch television, watch cable news, it doesn't matter, I guess, but remember that sitcom All in the Family, Archie Bunker, Edith Bunker, remember that? Take you down, a trip down memory lane. I happened to watch a couple of episodes from that, and I remember watching it as a young person, and through the reruns now, the magic of cable, I guess, or satellite or whatever. I was looking at that, and the episodes that I happened to see were during the Nixon-McGovern elections. And the one episode where Archie was arguing with Rob Reiner, Meathead, of course, and extolling the virtues of Richard Nixon. And, of course, Rob Reiner, Meathead, the son-in-law, was a big McGovern fan. Now, to some of the younger people listening to this, you may not really get the significance of this. But a lot of things came up during that episode. In terms of a lot of statements were made during that episode that if they aired today on television, network TV, you'd never get away with it. Now, nudity is okay, and crass sexual innuendo is okay, but the political discourse that occurred, at least in that episode, you wouldn't get away with it. And then there was another segment or two, apparently later in the seasons, talking about Nixon and Watergate, and it was an interesting historical retrospective to watch this. Now, the reason I bring this up is because you may not think that martial law or any type of police action would even be on the radar today. Well, things have changed. Look at the 40 years since that program aired. 40 years ago, watching that program, or 40 years ago, would you have thought 40 years ago, depending on your age, what you're seeing today was even possible here in the country we call America? I don't think so. So we tend to think about things like martial law, imposition of police actions, as some sort of conspiratorial nonsense. And I would urge people to get out of that normalcy bias, the head-in-the-sand approach. But we have to do this not in a the-sky-is-falling kind of technique. We have to look at this more in the manner of, well, who does it benefit? How will it advance the agenda of the current power structure? And what is it, you know, what's at stake here? What are they, the power brokers, attempting to accomplish? It's interesting to take a walk across the radio dial. You listen to Herman Cain. You listen to Sean Hannity. You listen to whoever, Tom Hartman, if you're into free speech TV and Democracy Now and the far left. And you listen to all of these talk show hosts. what element of, aside from political discourse in the cheerleading, and there's hope yet, and here's what we have to do, what value, what information do you get from these radio shows? And I began to think about that as well. We hope that after 3 hours of our show, you leave this program a lot more enriched and informed and even inspired than any other program can bring you. I kind of got off on a tangent there. Getting back to Judy McLeod's article about Obama, will only impose martial law if it looks like Trump will win. She does write that, in short, the final boom that Obama is going to lower on the masses is not martial law, but the election of Hillary Diane Rodham the Witch Clinton, the one that Trump correctly pegged as Crooked Hillary. That's a pretty big boom Obama is getting ready to lower on We the People on his way out the door, writes Judy McLeod. Now, if you think this through, if you take a step back and look at the larger perspective here, I do believe we are going to see a passing of the key to the front doors of the White House from Obama to Hillary Diane Rodham, the Witch Clinton. I believe that to be the plan. And by the way, so does my source, formerly with the DHS. That's the plan. That's the ultimate plan. Now, how will this be accomplished? Black box voting, he who counts the votes, and other measures. Notice as well, we are seeing the Republicans eyeing rule changes to unbind delegates. Don't think for a moment that the Republicans are not in league and in step with the progressive left to make this happen. Everyone inside the Beltway, or at least most inside the Beltway, are pining for a Hillary Rodham Clinton presidency. Under the guise of the first female president, we had the first black president. Look how well that went. Now, Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton as the first female president. And of course, the twofer one that you might get with Bill as the first lady. That's right, first lady. Writes Judy, and this segues into the historical and current events part of things here. As the Democrats, with the aiding and abetting of groups like #NeverTrump, studiously work to ensure that Obama gets a third term through the election of Clinton, propaganda pushed by Google, Facebook, Twitter, other social media, pollutes all clear thinking for any of those striving to stay ahead of the curve. We are watching history being revised as it happens. We're watching trends being forced by social media. We are seeing the programming take place right in front of our very eyes. We're all supposed to believe that civil society is going to come to a sudden standstill when the Republican convention gets underway, that many will be frightened away from attending, that fear and intimidation will keep Donald Trump from getting the nomination. There's a lot of chicanery, folks, going on with the Republican National Convention. And I do suspect, I do believe there will be a lot, that there will be trouble outside of that convention. We know that the new Black Panther Party and members even, and although this is not publicized, according to my source, the certain elements of the Nation of Islam and other similar groups will be there. They will be armed and they will be fixing for a fight. they are intending to disrupt that convention, as well as the Democratic National Convention, for the same ultimate purpose: chaos, destruction, but for different reasonings. The new Black Panther Party, Black Power Movement, will carry firearms. And I don't know whether you heard this, but the head of the new Black Panther Party came out and said, yeah, we're going to open carry at the convention, if that state's an open carry state. One, two clicks of a mouse, you can find that out. You read between the lines. Understand, they're coming armed, and they will be ready for a fight. Folks, I would urge you to go to CanadaFreePress.com, read the article by Judy McLeod, and feel free to comment on it. Even send her a little note saying that you heard about it on this program. Make her feel good. But what people are not understanding, and this is perhaps one of the most important parts of tonight, at least this segment of tonight's program, is this. This has happened before. What is taking place today has happened before. The playbook is basically the same. It's been refined, but it's essentially the same. The tactics are the same. You'll have to excuse me, too. I'm still battling this creeping crud in my head. So if I sound a little bit gooey, I guess I am. I don't know how many people have heard of the zebra killings, zebra murders. How about 179 days of terror in California? Have you heard about that? This has its tentacles from 1973, October of 1973 to May of 1974. Its tentacles extend into today. For background information, not on the zebra murders, I'm going to talk about the zebra murders here in a second, but for background on this, I would also urge people to read an article by Bob Unruh from WorldNet Daily. I'm not sure if I pronounced his last name correctly. Lawsuit: Obama holder Farrakhan inciting violence. All right? This is all going to be brought together to show you the plan that's in the works right now, that's being executed by orders of the handlers of Obama and his associates. Larry Klayman filed a complaint in federal court accusing Obama, Louis Farrakhan, Eric Holder, and Al Sharpton, and Black Lives Matter leaders of inciting their supporters to, and I quote, to engage in threats of and attacks to cause serious bodily injury or death upon police officers, Jews, and white people. He uses the word Caucasians. This action, filed in U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas, follows the sniper attack on police officers in Dallas. Now, Klayman is a former prosecutor, of course, for the Department of Justice, and he's the founder of Judicial Watch and Freedom Watch. And he's also a former U.S. Senate candidate from Florida. Now, he filed as the lead plaintiff in this case. And he says this: it's time that law enforcement, such as the plaintiffs in this case, including myself, come forward by peacefully attempting to use the legal system to redress the incitement, threats, and killings provoked by the defendants in this class action case. And he also adds this. He said, I'm hopeful that I will be joined by other law enforcement to join in the suit. For far too long, law enforcement and others, including white and non-white, Jews and Christians, have remained silent. And we have. As Christians, we've remained silent on these matters. scared to speak and act for fear of being branded racist over the fear of being threatened and harmed by defendants and their accomplices. I don't have to go much further than this program when I invited Colin Flaherty on to talk about black violence. Armed with nothing more than statistics and no agenda, Colin Flaherty laid out the statistics about black violence in America. I received so many vicious emails from listeners of this program, self-professed Christians who said, "You, sir, are a racist. How dare you call yourself Christian? I'll never listen to your program again." Well, you know, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, who was in studio last Friday, I like what he says. Truth becomes hate speech to those who hate the truth. Let me say that again. Truth becomes hate speech to those who hate the truth. Folks, that's true. You know, if the facts bother you or upset you so much where you call me a racist, what can I tell you? Go watch television. Go switch the radio station. But somebody, all of us, we have to have guts to confront the facts and to state the facts as clearly as possible. If the facts bother you, hey, you can email me all you want. The facts are the facts. Klayman is filing a class action lawsuit, as I said, against Obama, Holder, and Farrakhan. Now, according to my DHS insider, Farrakhan is on, or has been on, or is on the CIA payroll, government payroll. Now, can I prove that? No. But it does make sense, doesn't it? The defendants in Klayman's suit include Obama, Nation of Islam leader Farrakhan, former AG Holder, and National Action Network, Al Sharpton, Chief Al Sharpton. Rights Klayman defendants, each and every one of them jointly and severally conspiring and or acting in concert, either expressly or otherwise, are inciting and causing serious bodily injury or death to police officers and other law enforcement persons of all races and ethnicities. Jews, Christians, or Jews, Caucasians, and so on. I don't know if you can put up the image of Louis Farrakhan there. I had to clear my head there for a second. Sorry about that. The Black Lives Matter movement repeatedly has staged protests, sometimes violent, when black men are injured or killed in confrontations with police. Now, I am not in any way, shape, or form defending police violence against blacks, whites, or anyone else where it's not warranted. I will, however, state that a lot of these cases are not what they appear. And earlier this week I had given you the numbers. More whites are killed by police officers than blacks. Those are the facts. Like them or not, you have to deal with them. Well, 179 days of terror. We've seen this play out before. Now, the people in charge, the people like Farrakhan, the people like Attorney General, former Attorney General Holder, and Obama and others, the Nation of Islam, are teaming up to engage in a clash of civilizations. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you right now what we're seeing, and this is based as well on information from my source. I submit to you what we're seeing right now is the planned orchestration of a civil war as detailed by my source, and as I had written about since May of 2012, and all throughout 2013 and 2014, from my source, from the DHS, insider source, DHS, insider source. And I had received much criticism from people saying, well, that never happened. None of the stuff you wrote ever happened. Oh, yes, it did. Go through the articles. And what I will do on HagmanReport.com, that's our show prep page. I was talking with JD earlier about this. I didn't have a chance to do this, but I'm going to be putting up new material, but comparing it to the information I received back in 2012, 2013, 2014. I'm going to show you that the information provided to me is 100% accurate, and that what we're seeing today and what we're about to see being unleashed in this country is coming and is orchestrated by the highest levels of our government. Now, I've never been more serious in my life, and it pains me to say this, but they want black versus white. They want the have-nots versus the haves. They want to cause this chaos, this disorder, this disruption in the United States. That's their ultimate goal. Why? As I had mentioned the day before yesterday during that program, the three co-founders of the hashtag Black Lives Matter social network, social media, well, they are avowed Marxist, at least one of them. And they want to burn it all down, baby. They're not pro-equality. They're anti-white. They're not pro-equality. They're anti-capitalism. And they are, this whole thing is about to unravel. And you can soft sell it like, I'm not going to soft sell it. Other talk show hosts have backed away from this, making fun and making light of the associations. But let me tell you something. The Nation of Islam, the new Black Panther Party, the Black Panther Party, the remnants of the Wet Weather Underground, all of these new and old, and even the old by many standards, most standards, groups from the 60s, those people who marched in the streets in the 60s are in the positions of power behind the curtain and in the chairs today. The new group coming in are much more feral, are much more vicious. They've had a couple of generations to lose their moral compass or to have their moral compasses redirected. What you're about to see today and in the near term as Obama's parting gift, if that's the case, to this country, is the civil chaos, the civil unrest that's about to be unleashed all across the United States and on streets across the United States, and blood will flow. As it did in Dallas, it will flow in New York. As it did in Dallas, it's going to flow in San Francisco and other locations. As Obama sits back and smiles and jokes and puns and is looked at as some sort of incompetent. Folks, no. he might be answering to a different God, and I do believe he is. But he's also answering to a different small g God handler, or set of handlers. I know he is. To get a window into what you're going to see take place, we already saw it. 179 Days of Terror, San Francisco, 1973-1974. Let me take you back. Figuring prominently in this period, Louis Farrakhan as well, and the Nation of Islam. There were three guys by the name of Jesse Lee Cooks, Larry Green, and Anthony Cornelius Harris. They went on a hunting trip. Who were they hunting for? They were hunting for humans. Not just any human, white humans, to be precise. Only they didn't consider whites to be human, but rather, and I'm quoting, grafted snakes, white devils, and blue-eyed devils. Back in October, on October 20th, 1973, they grabbed three children. They tried to get them into their van. But the kids were able to break free and run. Well, Cooks, Green, and Harris didn't give up. They went back to their van. They went after new prey. And folks, if you want to know where I'm citing from and a good article to get the background on this, there was an article written by journalist Nicholas Stix, S-T-I-X, dated October 22nd, 2006. Frankly, I'm not sure which publication this appeared in. But he writes about these three hunters and their prey. When they didn't get the kids, what they did, they went after a couple, a white couple, the Hags, Richard Hag and his wife. The happily married couple, the Hags, were out for an after-dinner walk near their home in San Francisco on Telegraph Hill. The three guys grabbed both of them. The wife actually managed to run away, but one of these black men put a gun to her husband's chest and said that he'd kill him if she didn't come back. She stopped and came back. Well, her devotion cost her her life. In the van, these three guys brutally assaulted the husband and wife. And Cooks and Green robbed the husband and wife. And then Cooks and Harris sexually molested the wife. Then they drove and parked near some deserted railroad tracks in the Potrero District of San Francisco. They took to the husband and wife alike, taking turns hacking their faces with a machete. They nearly decapitated Haig's wife. Then they left him for dead. Now, Mrs. Hag died. Richard Hag was mutilated almost beyond recognition, but survived. And again, the three perpetrators from the night, Jesse Lee Cooks, Larry Green, and Anthony Cornelius Harris, were members of the Nation of Islam. They had been recruited to randomly murder whites. They had been recruited to do so along with other black Muslims. This is what's going on today. Do not let the media tell you otherwise. Don't let these soft-peddling, mealy-mouthed talk show hosts and pseudo-journalists and these intellectual giants out there tell you otherwise. What is happening today, the Nation of Islam and other groups like it, in my view, based on my research, are now taking up the very same playbooks and plans that they had from the 60s and from the 70s. And you might ask what they are. I'm telling you. That began what is known as the zebra killings. And you can do your own research on the zebra killings. There are a couple of books out on it. Zebra Murders, alternatively, or 179 Days of Terror as well. And how they got the name Zebra Killings, where'd that come from? Well, the San Francisco Police Department reserved a radio frequency Z, zebra in military and police parlance, for all dispatches that could be related to the serial killings, because now the white people started turning up dead. See, these murders, random murders of white men and women, would be carried out on the streets of San Francisco and would hold the city at bay for 179 days. But black residents, by the way, when interviewed by reporters, said, hey, we're not afraid. It would be months before the San Francisco Police Department would connect the Hague killing to the zebra case. That's because although the Hague case had in common with the San Francisco killings and attempted murders and rapes and mayhem, they were told, as was the public, that these were random murders. And there was no reason to be afraid. Soon, a profile emerged where these random black-on-white murders were being committed by young black men. And they stood out because they were conservatively dressed. Now, have you seen pictures of the Nation of Islam garb? You know what I'm talking about. Well, a couple of San Francisco police inspectors realized that, hey, wait a minute, we've got a problem here, and it looks like the perpetrators are of the same ilk, and of course that ilk being the Nation of Islam. Between October 20th, 1973 and April 16th, 1974, these three perpetrators that I mentioned, Jesse Lee Cooks, Larry Green, and Anthony Cornelius Harris, there's another guy in there too, J.C. Simon, and I'll throw one more, and Manuel Moore. They murdered at least 15 more whites and wounded at least another 9 whites in failed murder attempts. They kidnapped a homeless white man, folks, took him to a company in San Francisco known as Black Self-Help Moving and Storage. This was a Nation of Islam owned business where the killers, all the killers I mentioned except for one, that was Cooks, they all worked there. They bound and gagged this guy, and what they did next should horrify everyone. They began chopping his limbs off one by one while he was alive. They bound him, gagged him, so he couldn't scream. He chopped off a leg, an arm, another arm, until he died. The author of this article, Nicholas Stix, wrote this. He said, one of the detectives who worked the Zebra detail told me that one of the cases in which the dismembered white murder victim could not be identified, it was known as the Turkey case. Why? Because the victim, who was found on Ocean Beach, minus his feet and hands, and perhaps his head, was trussed up like a Thanksgiving Day turkey. Now, Jesse Lee Cooks also raped and twice sodomized at least one white woman. He planned on murdering her, but somehow she managed to convince him to let her live. I should note that Black Self-Help, that company, was managed by Tom Manny, who was also a Nation of Islam member, who was a former high school and college football star. There's a book titled Zebra, The True Account of the 179 Days of Terror in San Francisco. Manny lent his black Cadillac to the murderers, who used it in several of the killings. According to Howard, an illegal 32 caliber pistol that Manny owned was the murder weapon in many of the killings. Manny was arrested for the Zebra killings, but released four, in the DA's opinion, for lack of evidence. Now, when you go back and look at this, it's something totally different. And when I say totally different, I'm talking about the equivalent of today. Well, we can't prosecute. We don't want to be considered racist. I could go on with this. It's brutal. The murders were brutal. One of the San Francisco Police Department homicide detail team members that ran the case said that the FBI got involved. The Department of Justice, California Department of Justice, got involved and looked. We're looking at similar murders all up and down the California coast. And then the investigation expanded and found something very interesting in New York, which I'm going to get to in a minute. Well, I'll tell you right now what happened in New York on April 14th, 1972. And let me ask you this, folks. Does this sound familiar? April 14th, 1972. Patrolman Philip W. Cardillo and his partner, they were called to Harlem's Nation of Islam Mosque Number 6 by mosque members following a false officer in need of assistance call. One of the members made. I must remind you now that this was Louis Farrakhan's mosque at the time. Historian Vincent Canato recounted the murder, recounted this particular event in a book called The Ungovernable City, John Lindsay and the Struggle to Save New York. But writes Vincent Canato, Louis Farrakhan, the minister of that mosque where those police officers were called, where Patrolman Philip W. Cardillo, in his response to a police call, was ambushed and murdered. He wrote this. He said Farrakhan was identified, and he was at least guilty of obstruction of justice in this case, if not conspiracy to murder a police officer. There's a retired NYPD Lieutenant Randy Jurgensen, who responded to the mosque ambush 40 plus years ago, right? He goes into a great deal about that ambush of police officers. It was during that time in 1972 the Nation of Islam had decided to declare war on police, but not just police, white police officers. And had murdered Officer Philip W. Cardillo. the killers, all members of the Nation of Islam, they all belonged to an elite group called Death Angels. They actually held pep rallies, recruiting meetings, in the attic at the Black Self-Help Company. You see, in order to become a Death Angel in the Nation of Islam, you had to murder 4 white children, 5 white women, or 9 white men. Nation of Islam. Some historical background. Violence, random violence against whites, but specifically violence against police officers. And very specifically, violence and killing of white police officers. 44 years ago. 44 years almost to the month. What do we see now? Dallas. Dateline. July. 2016. You've got a black Muslim. That's right, black Muslim. Allegedly responsible for murdering 5 police officers, all white. Injuring others. Are we seeing history repeat itself? Yes, we are. What's taking place here? Is this as organized as the Nation of Islam was back in 72? Absolutely. Different actors, perhaps different groups, more groups, and even more refined groups. But the plans, the objectives are the same. There is a war against Americans. There's a war against the whites. There's a war against the Jewish people. There's a war against the Christians. And at the people pulling the triggers, the people behind waging this war, Black Lives Matter, Nation of Islam, Black Panthers, New Black Panther Party, Jamaat al-Fukra, which is the community of the impoverished, which is kind of a sort of takeoff of Nation of Islam. That's where you get Islamberg from. It's where you see all these paramilitary training compounds all across the United States that many people have written about. I did surveillance on it. The sign for Islamberg that you see floating around, I took that picture. I'm not saying, woe is me, you know, yay me. No. I was there. And I provided the information to the people in charge of justice in this country. They don't want to hear it. The higher levels of justice, the Loretta Lynch's, the Eric Holder's, don't want to hear it. Why? Because they want the race war. And if you think that this is all conspiracy nonsense, well, think a little bit deeper. Broaden your vision a bit. The objective here is to create such chaos, to break down society in such a way that the only way for us to continue functioning as a country is under strong tyranny. And if that means Obama extending his term, whether it be through Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, or through other means, it will be accomplished. Read Judy's article, CanadaFreePress.com. To connect the dots to the prophetic side of things, we're going to be joined by Jonathan Matthew Wright this hour. Stay right where you're at. I'm Doug Hagman, Hagman and Hagman Report.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.